The Swedish teen climate activist Greta Thunberg is the hot favourite to win this year's Nobel Peace Prize. The coveted award will be announced in Oslo later tonight, Australian time. The list of nominees is not released publicly, but there are more than 300 individuals and organisations up for the prize, including the young leaders of the Hong Kong protest movement. Dan Smith is the director of the Stockholm International Peace Research Institute, and he joins me now. Welcome to RN Breakfast, Mr. Smith.
Hi. Hi. How are you?
Now, the bookies are confident that Greta Thunberg is a shoo-in for the Nobel Peace Prize, but as I understand it, the list of candidates was drawn up long before she gave her a big speech recently. So what's your view? Is she a likely winner?
Well, I think there's clearly a good case for it. And the Nobel Peace Prize Committee does look at things which are happening all through the year, as well as what's happened in previous years as well. The other thing about the Nobel Peace Prize Committee is that they have a very proud record of surprising everybody with their choice. And afterwards, everyone says, oh, yes, you know, I could see that coming, but they never did. So I don't think that there is anything like a shoo-in for a Nobel Peace Prize. There's a lot of good candidates in the names that have been publicly released or are publicly circulating. They're not released by the Nobel Committee.
She'd be very young. I mean, she's 16, and I think Malala Yousafzai was the youngest before, and I think she was 17 when she won it.
And I think if I look at it as a parent, you know, actually, if I were one of Greta Thunberg's parents, I would hope that she didn't get it right now. I think there's a huge amount of focus and spotlight on her, and the Nobel Peace Prize is going to increase that if she gets it. She's carried it very gracefully so far, but, you know, I mean, she does have a lot of growing to do as a person, and to be doing all of that in the most, you know, in that public gaze, some of it very unforgiving it. Some of it very harsh, some of it looking out for mistakes that she's going to make. So I think there's a strong case in terms of how she's been inspirational and how the movement has grown and so on. But as I say, if I were her parent, I would hope not.
Mm. It's also been speculated that the young leaders of the Hong Kong pro-democracy protest movement could also win. Now, that would certainly raise the ire of China, and it's a very much a live issue. How likely do you judge that to be?
Well, I don't think that the ire of China would actually have much of an impact as far as the Nobel Peace Prize Committee is concerned. They have a record of not really seeming to bother too much about who they annoy with if they think something is the right choice.
Well, they recognised Liu Xiaobo, didn't they? The now late Liu Xiaobo.
That's right.
Which infuriated China.
Yes, and going further back in the Cold War, you know, they were also supporting Russian Soviet dissidents with it. But I'm a little bit sceptical about the Hong Kong movement leaders getting it, because I think it's quite unclear where that movement is going and how it's going to play out. And so I would suspect that the Nobel Peace Prize Committee would stand away a bit from that.
Another person who's emerged as a favourite is the Ethiopian Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed, who would be recognised for his dramatic peace deal with Eritrea after what I think was almost a generation of conflict. He's being touted as the second favourite to win by the bookies after Thunberg. So what do you judge his chances to be?
Yeah, I think there's a good case for that. The committee, again, its record shows that when peace is actually being made, you know, you go back and you look at the case of Colombia, but further back, Northern Ireland, South Africa, Israel, Palestine, they very much want to reward practical peacemaking efforts. And I think that Abiy Ahmed stands out a bit because of that. And I think also the sense of him promoting a political order in Ethiopia, where it's not that it's paradise. I mean, there's been some forced displacements, there's been various issues, but it is a more inclusive and a more open system than there was before. Some people might say let it roll for a year and see how it turns out before honouring it. But sometimes the Nobel Committee has wanted to encourage good developments by giving a prize relatively early in the peace process.
Yes, and look, there's a total of 301 individuals and organisations.
Yeah.
Is that's a big number. Is that what it normally is?
I think it's usually there or thereabouts.
Okay.
And if you go down through the list, there are some fantastic names there as well. I mean, my own personal favorite would be to honor Daniel Ellsberg, who's been nominated. And he was, the man who released the truth about the Vietnam War through the Pentagon Papers. And I think we need to be encouraging whistleblowers in this era when governments are pushing back against transparency and accountability. So encourage whistleblowers by honoring the original. That would be, you know, that's my pick, but I don't think he's very high in the bookie lists.
Which goes very much to the question I was about to ask you of the definition of peace anyway, because this has been shifting, hasn't it, in terms of the judges' views, quite interestingly.
Yes, I mean, there are some people who would say, well, the environment, you know, the climate change is an environmental issue. That's not a peace issue. And they were arguing against Al Gore getting it some time back. From my point of view, the changes which happened with the climate issues of biodiversity loss, which is driven in part by climate change, these are going to have and already have had enormous impacts on peace and security. And so I think it's that kind of thing. It's looking at what the connections are. So it's not just about ending a war or getting rid of some armaments or getting a new treaty or so on. It's also about, it can be about the humanitarian action that helps create better conditions for peace. It can be about something to do with the environment that creates better conditions for peace. And of course, and this is where it's been most controversial, things to do with human rights and political freedoms, which also demonstrably create better conditions for peace when they're supported and respected.
And finally, Dan, what about a focus, as some have suggested, on freedom of expression and information, which goes to that transparency issue you're describing, when at a time when such freedoms are under pressure in both democracies and authoritarian regimes? Is this its time?
Yes, I mean, arguably it could be. I think that I looked at the list of candidates again this evening before, or for you this morning before talking with you, and there is such a diversity in there. But there are several nominations which are, as you say, about whether you agree with the specific case or not. I mean, Julian Assange is in there, for example, and he's extremely controversial figure now. But something to do with speaking truth to power seems to me to be a very important part of the kind of societies that we want to build, which will be more peaceful. And so honouring that, and I think that's why I was saying Dan Ellsberg would be a good choice, but there are other candidates in there as well who could also get the nod.
Very interesting. Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
Dan Smith, he's the director of the Stockholm International Peace Research Institute. And the Nobel Peace Prize will be announced at 8 o'clock tonight, Eastern Australian time, at the Norwegian Nobel Institute in Oslo.